Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. What a mighty God we serve. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy father Abraham. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Do a work through the Bible like only you can do. We stand in need. And we know that you can meet our every need. So help us, Lord. I pray that you'll bless, guide, and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We finish Genesis 25. We entitled that chapter, The Show Must Go On. For the simple fact that although Abraham was dead, God was not. And we have to get out of the mindset that God can't do what he's going to do unless he has certain people. Can I tell you, people don't get God's job done. People are just vessels through whom God does his job. Aren't you glad that when great heroes pass off the scene and great leaders die and great people go to heaven, aren't you glad that as long as God is still alive, and by the way, he'll never die, he never slumbers, he never sleeps, he never stops, he never got started, so as long as God is, the show will go on. And it did. Abraham was gone, but Isaac was not, and God blessed Isaac like he did Abraham. Aren't you glad that God knows how to keep on blessing? And he did. We spoke about Ishmael. We spoke about Isaac. And we spoke about these two sons. One of the covenant, one that was not. One representing the spirit, one representing the flesh. One in the perfect will of God, one in the permissive will of God. And we learned from the life of Isaac. We learned from the life of Abraham. And we learned today that it pays to live in the center of God's will. God bless. And then we found out that as the show went on, all of a sudden, Isaac and that wife that God had given to her, given to him, she gave birth. She had a child, not just one, two. There was a struggle inside of her. After nearly 20 years of barrenness, they cried unto God, and God answered their prayer. Somebody will say amen that God answers prayer. And God answered prayer. All of a sudden, her prayer was answered. She conceived. She finds a struggle inside of her. If God is blessing me, why am I perplexed? If God has answered my prayer, where's this struggle going on inside of me, and what does it represent? Two sons, two nations, conflicting personalities. And of course, you know the story. Jacob is born. Esau is born. We find out they're two boys from the same parents, but two totally different personalities. One likes outside, one likes inside. One's hairy and one's pretty. And all of a sudden, at the end of our chapter, we see that Jacob tricks his brother. Esau despises his birthright, his future, his blessings, his livelihood, as right. He belittled it. He downplayed it. He devalued it. And because he looked at it for less than what it was, he sold his future blessings for a temporary fix. And it breaks my heart how many Christians are willing to give up their future for a little fun right now. Can I tell you, there's nothing that the devil can offer you now that can be bigger than what God will offer you later. Aren't you glad for the promises of God and the blessings of God and the favor of God? May none of us sell out the birthright. What a disgraceful end it was to Genesis 25. And then in Genesis 26, we move back and we look back at Isaac. He becomes the focal point. And in this chapter, I've entitled this, Your Faith Will Be Tested. Your faith will be tested. Notice I didn't say faith will be tested. I say your faith will be tested. Because I've learned in this Christian life that a lot of believers like to ride off of somebody else's faith. The good thing about riding off of somebody else's faith is you don't have to take their test for them. But when you've got your own faith, you begin to realize that when I walk with God, Hebrews chapter 11, he that believeth that God is, how much do I need to have faith? God is. He that believeth that God is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that's the person that has faith. Your faith will be tested. James said, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So many of us don't like tests because tests reveal rather or not something real. Here's Isaac. He is the offspring of one of the greatest heroes of faith in all of Scripture. But he's going to discover in the 26th chapter of Genesis that regardless of how big your daddy's faith was, you got to have your own. Regardless of how strong your daddy's faith was, you have to have your own. Regardless of how many tests your daddy passed, you've got to pass your own. Regardless of how much knowledge your daddy gave you, you've got to live it out on your own. And Isaac is going to learn in Genesis 26, your faith will be tested. And by the way, God tests our faith to bring out the best in us. The devil tempts our faith to bring out the worst in us. And how you react will determine whether your best comes out or whether your worst comes out. Your faith will be tested. My faith will be tested. And only real faith passed the test. I've known a lot of Christians. they bragged a lot. They shouted a lot. They testified a lot. But anybody can testify when he's not going through a test. Anybody can shout when he's on the mountaintop. Anybody can brag on Jesus when he's never ridden with Jesus through the storm. But sometimes the tune changes when the test comes. Sometimes the tune changes when God decides to find out whether or not we really love him. And by the way, he already knows. The revelation is not for God. The revelation is for us. And I'm telling you, my friend, that's why it pays to walk with God. Because you never know when the test is coming. You never know when God is going to evaluate you. But what you do know is, if I love him, and if I trust him, and if I'll serve him from my heart, my faith will pass the test. Your faith will be tested. If you're taking notes tonight, write down difficult trial. Read with me the first few words in Genesis 26. Ready, begin. And there was a famine. Say it again. And there was a famine. Say it again. And there was a famine. Now look at me, beloved. Mark your calendars. The famine will come. Come on. Mark your calendar. The famine will come. Now, in this context, this was a famine of food, but let me tell you something. You have a famine some kind of way. Listen. They ran short on food, but there's going to come in time in your life where you're going to run short on something. If you ain't running short on money, you'll run short on health. You're running short on health, you'll run short on emotions. You're not running short on emotions, you'll run short on friends. You're not running short on friends, you'll run short on something else. There'll come a time when famine comes in the land. Notice how the scripture put this. There's a famine in the land. Notice what the Bible said. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. It's as if God is saying, Abraham had a famine, but guess what? Isaac gonna have his too. Somehow, we surmise in our own minds that we're better than they were. We're smarter than they were. We got it figured out better than they did. Yeah, they had famines, but we ain't gonna have famine. Not us. They had struggles. We gonna have struggles. They went through it, but we're not going to go through it. By the way, there's a wave of thinking that sweeps across New Testament Christianity today that somehow a new generation of believers is going to serve God without any hardship. Well, I know they went through it, but, you know, we got a little bit more at our disposal. We've gained a little more resources. Technology has been advanced. I don't care how much technology is. I don't care how many advances we have in America. You will not serve God without at some point going through a famine. You better be ready for the famine. Technology, millennialism, resources, education, and everything else will not pass the famine test. There's only one thing that'll make it, and that's faith. Amen. So here comes the test. And let's watch Isaac go through the test. I wrote down here the previous affliction. Then notice, if you would, the personal adversity. And then, if you would, notice the prompted action. Here it comes. A test comes, different than the one daddy had, but not very different than the one daddy had. There have no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. I'm going through something nobody ever else went through. Don't think that much of yourself. Somebody been through it. By the way, they didn't just go through it, they made it out of it. I said somebody went through it and came out of it. Somebody went down, came back up. Somebody had a burden that God took off of their shoulders. Somebody went through a difficulty and came forth as gold. Somebody went through the fire and came out unseen. I want to tell you something. You're not the first case that God gave to somebody that went through a tough time. God's people been going through tough times ever since Adam and Eve fell. But God is a deliverer. Here comes a trial. Some of the people of God are a little disillusioned right now because they are in the middle of a famine that wasn't on their calendar. Somebody passed you didn't plan on. You lost a job you thought was secure. You're in a marital struggle that you never planned for yourself. A child has walked away that you never envisioned leaving, and here comes the famine. What do I do? Well, I'll tell you what Isaac did. This famine prompted him to action. Notice the scripture said, he went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines of Gerar. Bible tells us he went to Gerar. If he was still living in Lahairoi, which is the last place that the Bible gave us by way of location for him, and he went to Gerar, he went about 25 miles northeast to the Philistine capital, Gerar. Gerar is where Isaac went. The Bible does not necessarily condemn him for going, but it does indicate to us that when difficult times come, we are immediately moved to do something. Write this down in your notes, not only the difficult trial, but the definite temptation. There was immediate apprehension. Oh no. No food? Oh no, I can't handle a famine. Oh no, I can't survive. Have you ever found yourself when a trial comes thinking, I am not gonna make it? Now listen to me now. When you start talking like that, the devil has you where he wants you. Because immediate apprehension often leads to instinctive abandonment. He left the place. He left where God put him to find help from somewhere else. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you think that God has a problem finding food? But by the way, lest we take time to cover every area, whatever you're missing, do you think God has a problem finding it? You fill in the blank. But here's what apprehension does. Fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible tells us. When we start panicking, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct not that there have no temptation to take in you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who are not suffered you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The trying of your faith worketh patience, so let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Are you telling me that God can't provide your need? He didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Temptation. As soon as a trial comes, we are tempted to move. I know of another man that moved in famine. His name was Elimelech. His story is found in the book of Ruth. There was a famine in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. What do you mean? That even when bread's short, if you stay in Bethlehem, it's bound to come around the corner soon enough. He went to Moab. He went to Moab with two sons and a wife. He got to Moab, and his sons married wives that had no business marrying. Huh? And then he died. And his sons died. So he went there with a family, and he never made it out. I'm not preaching on this tonight, but I'm simply telling you that the last thing you want to do in the middle of a trial is leave the place where God puts you, is leave the place where God sets you, is leave the place where God sent you. You will leave Bethlehem looking for bread. You not only won't find bread, you won't even survive life. Definite temptation. Notice number three, and I'll give you this one and we'll close tonight. Difficult trial, definite temptation. This is my favorite, at least for tonight. I have a different favorite every night. Difficult trial, definite temptation. But this is what we all need. Divine talk. I wish I could have about 13 amens for divine talk. Has God ever visited you while you were in the middle of at least contemplating a bad decision? Somebody, I heard them grunts right there. Yeah, see, when folks say amen, they're with you. When they say you're in their business. Now, I'm not reading into the context of Scripture, but God is going to show up and say something to Isaac and to me. The fact that God said it is the Holy Ghost really somewhat saying to us, I had to say it to him because I knew he was thinking about it. Don't go to Egypt. You ever say to your kids, don't do that? And they say, I didn't. And you're saying, I know you didn't, but you think about it. And even if you're not thinking about it, I'm telling you before you think about it how crazy it would be to think about it, because after you do it, you're going to wish you never thought about it. Don't go to Egypt. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure that Gerar wasn't just his first stop on the way to Egypt. He went northeast to Gerar, and I'm not so sure if God hadn't shown up, if he wouldn't have made a trek south toward towards Egypt. The Bible doesn't tell us, but God is very clear. Before you even do it, buddy, don't even think about it. Now, I'd like to tell you, there could be some of you already contemplating some decisions in 2019, and God has got you in church on the last Wednesday night of 2018 to tell you before you step in some quicksand or start sinking in some swamp, before you mess up in a crazy relationship or spend God's money on an illustriously bad decision, God is saying, before you step, before you act, before you walk, before you do, don't go there. Don't go to Egypt. This is divine talk. The talk begins with a remarkable appearance, and the Lord appeared. Somebody say amen for God's timing. I said for God's timing. The good timing about God showing up and saying stuff to us about stuff we haven't even said out loud, but we're thinking about in our head, is the fact that God is the only person can see what's going on in our head. And I'm glad that there were some times I never said it, I never told anybody, I never announced it, I never even asked anybody counsel on it, but maybe in my mind I was trying to help God take care of me, I was trying to help God answer my prayer, I was trying to help God fulfill his promise, and I was thinking, maybe if I'll do this and do that and change this and change that, it'll help. And God said, hey, I read your mind. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't even call. Don't even call. Watch this now. Don't even answer. Now watch this now. For some of you, your Egypt is answering. Come on, for some of you singles, it's going out on the first date. That's Egypt. Come on. God telling you, don't even go there. And I know what some of you are thinking. I've already planned it. Call and cancel. I won't hurt anybody's feeling. Send the pastor the number. He will call and cancel. Don't go there. Listen, quit. I get so sick and tired of Christian people complaining about all of God's rules, and what they ought to be doing is thanking God for God's protection. God won't let me go nowhere. God won't let me do nothing. Serving God won't let me have no fun. God's not keeping you from fun. He's keeping you from failure. God's not keeping you from emotional and cultural development. God's keeping you from wrecking your life. Stop getting on your knees and asking God why you can't do this and why you can't do that, and get on your knees and say, thank you, God, for warning me about nonsense that mom and daddy couldn't even warn me about because it was still in my head. Still in my head. Thank God he don't wait to come save us from nonsense. Sometimes he doesn't save us out of nonsense. He saves us from ever getting into nonsense. Praise his holy name. The remarkable appearance of God, the relevant admonition of God. Don't go there. Go now down to Egypt. And by the way, God's an individual God. In Genesis 12, famine came in Abraham's life. God didn't say anything to him about where to go. In Genesis 46, God's going to tell Jacob to go to Egypt. And in Genesis 26, uniquely speaking to Isaac, he says, don't go. Do you know that? I better come down here for this. Do you know that there are some places that God sends people that are okay for them that aren't okay for you? And that's why Paul said in Corinthians, don't compare yourself among yourself, because that's not wise. Because here's what Christian people say. Why can't I go there? He went there. God sent him. God can send me. He did it. I can do it. Listen to me. God knows you better than you. And sometimes what's okay for Jacob is not okay for Isaac. Amen. Better be careful trying to keep up with everybody. They had two. I had two. They had three. I had three. They have it. They bought one. I bought one. They do it. I did. They preach. I preach. They a pastor. I'm a pastor. You better be who God tells you to be. Preach, pastor. That was free. That wasn't in my notes. But I looked at a few of y'all, and it popped in my head. Amen. It's dangerous to come to church. You give the pastor extra notes. Amen. Amen. Some of you are wanna workers up here tonight. Yeah. I'm having ideas pop in my head that don't ever come up on Wednesday night. I teach you to come up here, Brother Zev. I mean, yeah, yeah. I'm getting all kinds of points. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I need to start putting pictures on the pulpit. That'll help my preaching. What I'm talking about. Remarkable appearance. The relevant admonition. Notice now what I call the reiterated agreement. Well, I tell you what. Some of the best things God's ever told me is stuff he already told me before. Did anybody hear me? That's the problem with some of these religious cults out there. Up here trying to get something new from God. New revelation and some prophet apostle telling me something. God told me to speak a word. Why would God need me to speak a word in someone when he already spoke a whole word? 66 books.
Yes, sir. Come on.
You better stay away from somebody speaking a word over you. And most of the words that these shysters are speaking over people have to do with giving them money.
Yes.
Anybody can get a word over somebody if it means give me some money. You don't listen to me. You don't need a new word from a preacher. You need a reiterated word from God. So he's going to talk to Isaac. And he's going to use some of the same language to Isaac that he used to his daddy. Why is he using the same language? Because it's still good. Glory to God. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, I'm not speaking prophetically into your life, but I'm going to just step out on a limb and say, if you mess up in 2019, it will not be on an issue you've not heard before. It will be on an issue that you've become immune to because you think because you know it so well, you don't have to pay attention to it. You don't think Isaac had heard about the covenant? It had been rehearsed to him. Listen, it's the same fella somewhere around 19, 20, 21, as best we can tell, was on a mountaintop with his daddy, getting ready to get killed. And God stopped the proceeding because Abraham proved his commitment. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. And I guarantee you, Abraham and Isaac had a great time coming down off that mountain, meeting them boys that were waiting to them after they told them they'd both be back, stepping out on nothing but faith. Amen.
That's right.
I guarantee you Isaac had heard it. He's familiar with the covenant. And yet God reminded him, listen to me, in his time of trial, your problem, Isaac, is not food. Your problem is faith. Remember what I told your father? Listen to the words, the reiterated words of God. Sojourn in this land. I will be with thee. Somebody thank God for the presence of God. I will bless thee. Somebody thank God for the prosperity of God. And unto thee and unto thy seed. Somebody thank God for the posterity from God. And will perform the oath which I spake unto Abraham thy father. Somebody thank God for the promises of God. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. Thank God for the provisions of God. And in thy seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed. Thank God for the performance of God. Beloved, if you're in a trial tonight, listen up. If you're not in one, listen up, because you're next to one soon or you're coming out of one now. What you need when you're doubting God is the very words of God. Whew. Don't walk away from where God wants you to be based on the circumstances. I'm out of here. Why? I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I can't serve God anymore. I can't preach anymore. I can't live for God. I can't tithe anymore. God said, you don't need what you can get from Abimelech. You need what you have from me. My, my, my. The refreshing assurance of God. I'm going to take care of you. Do you believe God keeps his word? And I'll close with this thought. It's the day after Christmas. I'm going to let you out about on time. Merry Christmas. The right association concerning God. Verse 5, first word. Anybody looking? Don't take the pastor's word for it. Verse 5, first word. Because. Now watch this now. This is kind of getting into your feelings a little bit, kind of hurt your pride. But look at God talking to Isaac. I'm going to take care of you. 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 But I'm going to take care of you, not because of you. Well, you start feeling good when God starts making you promises. Huh? Start listening. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he finishes the phrase and goes, but it ain't because of you. I'm going to bless you because who your daddy is. I'm going to bless you. You have a right. Listen to me. You are the offspring of a covenant. Somebody tonight ought to thank God that you're sitting in a good church because God saved your mama or saved your daddy. And you are being blessed tonight because of somebody else. You're in a church. If a man didn't say yes to God on a Thursday night, yes to God 2 years later, yes to God 3 years later, we wouldn't be here tonight. Thank God that our faith is being made possible because of the faith of somebody else. Amen. Here's what I have in notes, and I'll close here. Here's what God is saying to Isaac. Because of the faith of your father, I'm going to bless you. Here's what he's saying. Because of a godly predecessor, I'm going to bless you. But I want you to see how he closes. Not just because of a godly predecessor or because of a godly person, but because of godly performance and godly principles. Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now watch this, and don't miss this, and you can go home. Listen, he didn't just say, I'm blessing you because of Abraham as a person. He said, I'm blessing you because of Abraham's practices and Abraham's principles. And he's tuning Isaac into a little tip that he can learn from. If I blessed a person because of his principles, then guess what, Isaac? You are another person who can also be blessed if you will practice the same principles. So you can't just expect blessings because your mama and daddy walk with God. Thank God they walk with God, but you better walk the walk they walk if you want to get blessed with the blessing they got blessed with. It's their principles. The last thing you want to do is punch in your appointment for spiritual blessings because of who your parents are. And the first thing you want to do is find out whatever they did in their obedience to God and God blessed them for it, I'm going to obey God so he can bless me too. If there's anything, listen, if anything I ever learned from having godly parents is, if they didn't get it because of who they were, what makes me think I'm going to get it because of who I am? If they got it because they obeyed God, what makes me think I can't have it if I obey? Anybody listening? Amen. We're living in a generation that wants the product without the process. I want everything God gave everybody in the Bible. I want a great ministry. I want a great family. I want a great wife. I want a great husband. Listen to me. That's not MASH on a napkin. Remember you played MASH? Y'all don't remember that? MASH, you just go in circles, pick four different people you like and four different careers, and you just stop, and somebody says stop, and then you married this person, you did this. Life don't work that way. You don't have a good life by playing MASH. You have a good life by walking with God. Any young men out here think I'm going to pastor a big old church because I got a paper down here that says I'm going to pastor a big old church and I got a syllabus and I got all these ideas and I got new age thinking and I got a smartphone and a watch and a new words and lit and fire and all these other things they say, you know, and I'm going to get it all. Let me just, you go, listen to me. You ain't going to get the blessings of God unless you walk with God. That goes for everybody. You can't have a good marriage without God's touch. A good ministry without God's touch. He obeyed me, Isaac. It's your turn now. It's your turn. We sing these songs. Faith of our fathers. May all who come behind us. These are great songs. They got to be more than songs. It's got to be a lifestyle. You're not going to sneak your way past the purview of God and get blessed and get to heaven. And he go, oh, I'm sorry. The secretary sent blessings to your mail and didn't ask me first. Oops. Listen to me. If God blesses you, it will be on purpose and it will be because you obey him. You will not get an accidental deposit in your account that you hurry up and spend. So that by the time the bank tell you it was an accident, you can say, I don't have it no more. Listen to me. If God blesses you, he's going to bless you on purpose. He doesn't miss. He doesn't mistake. He doesn't say oops. He doesn't say my bad. He blesses obedience. That's determined by the grace of God to live for him. I'm thankful I would not be here if it were not for the faith of my parents. But the last thing I want to do is ride off of their faith without demonstrating my own faith. If I ain't learned nothing in all these years, I've learned if God blessed them for doing it, he'll bless me for doing it, and I'm trying to do it as best as I can so that I can have my own blessings like they had their own blessings. Because it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or who kids you are, your faith will be tested. Father, help us. Help us, help us. Help us not to be in the business of trying to come up with something new or do our own thing, live our own way. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Help these young people to follow the faith of their fathers, but to pass it on. In Jesus' name, amen.